Father, we know that you paid it all and that you save, that you're a chain breaker, that you're worthy of our worship. And Lord, we have worshiped you this morning already in song. We worship you already in baptism. We've worshiped you in our giving. And now, Lord, may we worship you in the preaching and the listening and the responding to your word. May you move in our midst. May you change lives. May you change me. May you change us. May you change our community. May you change our parish, our state, our country, our world. And may you begin it in us today. May you continue it in us today. May you complete some things in us today. Whatever it is you desire to do, wherever we're walking on that journey, Lord, I pray that in whatever way you need to, you would interrupt us today, that you would change our direction, that you would change our attitude, that you would change our mindset, that you would change our hearts, and that, Lord, for some, you would change our eternal destinations, that we might know you and follow you and live for you and die for you, that you might be glorified. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 9. Go ahead and be finding your place there. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I told my wife, I said, I'm not putting that jacket on because I'm already sweating. And I got to baptize again in the second service. And when I get in that hot water, this fat boy's metabolism just kind of kicks in and starts sweating. And I just don't want to sweat all the way through everything before the 11 o'clock service starts. I want to give you a little bit of an update about what's going to happen next week. I normally like to do these things at the end of the service, but some of y'all like to duck out right at the invitation. Don't want to see what God does at the invitation, right? Or you're just in a hurry. You've listened to a long sermon. You want to beat the Methodist to the restaurant. That's all right. But next Sunday's a big weekend. Next weekend's a big weekend in our church life. We'll be voting in our next associate pastor, Joseph Smith. He goes by Joey Smith. Him and his wife, Mara and Mitchell. He's going to be our associate pastor of evangelism and missions. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, this guy's fired up, and you better get ready. If you don't want to work and you don't want to tell people about Jesus, I don't want you to vote that way, but you just might want to abstain from voting. And just so you won't be a hypocrite, right, when you vote for this guy and then you don't do what he's going to lead us to do. But he's ready to reach the world for Jesus. And so they're going to be here next Saturday at 4 p.m. They'll be in the Family Life Center. And then there's going to be a meet and greet, a testimony, Q&A time. And you'll notice it's done by 5:30 because I know the kickoff is at 6:30. You all right? For all y'all that love LSU more than you love Jesus, I made it where it's okay for you to come to. You all right? I feel good today. I don't know what it is. I just feel good and ready to go. And then Sunday morning, in here, we'll be in here next Sunday. We're not going to the gym yet, but in here, he'll preach both services. We'll call ourselves into a business meeting at the beginning, and then we'll just do church as normal, and at the end of each service, you'll vote. I want you to understand a couple things about this position. This is a position that has been vacant since Jerry Key resigned, okay? There's going to be some change in some of the responsibilities. He's not going to be our executive pastor. I'm your executive pastor. That's one of my giftedness. I do administration. It's one of the things I love to do, and I'm just not going to pay somebody else to do it. And so I want him freed up to do other things that are more important than some things that I can do. This is not a new position. It's a position that's already in the budget that was approved for this year. We just haven't been spending it, okay? It's actually will keep us to where we're one staff person short from where we used to be. And so this is a budgeted position. It's already been in there. We're just only going to have to pay it for one quarter instead of the whole year. We'll still have one less staff position than we had. This recommendation comes from your pastor, your personnel committee, and your finance committee. We have looked over this. We have prayed over this. We have looked at our giving. We are under budget, but we're over cash flow. We're taking in more money than we're spending. This is fine. We're okay here, and I just want you to be aware of those things. And send the Joy and Mara be here on Saturday and then on Sunday, and then all goes according to plan. His first day on the job will be October 1. Pray for Joy right now. He will be announcing his resignation from the place where he currently serves, where he's been youth minister for the last 3 years. Pray for that church. Pray for those teenagers. And would you especially pray for the four that gave their life to Christ this last Wednesday night? Joy's like, dude, I got four kids that just got saved. I said, man, that's going to be tough on Sunday. And so just pray for all of that to go smoothly. And he's already got people lined up that can disciple them. They already have people lined up that are going to step into his position there. But it's going to be a hard few weeks for Joy. It's going to be some tears. It's going to be tough for him to leave where he's already serving. And you know what? If it wasn't, I wouldn't want him. And you wouldn't want him. Because he loves well and he serves well. and he's going to do the same here for us at East. I remember with Brother Jason, and he resigned his church over there in Florine. He said, man, that was tougher than I thought it was going to be. He said, that was hard. I said, man, if it wasn't hard, I wouldn't want you here, because you're not doing it right if it doesn't hurt a little bit when you leave. And so be praying. It's going to be an exciting weekend, and hopefully LSU beats Texas too. Amen? All right? Some of y'all think I'm pulling for Texas because I moved from Texas, but I never have been a Longhorn fan myself. Sorry, Melissa, but anyway, I got some horns thrown at me. I won't do them upside down. I'm not going to be that bad. But it'll be a fun night, and we'll have a great weekend, and we're looking forward to that. Just wanted to make sure you had all the information you needed to have, and I pray that when you'll love them as much as I do once you get to meet them. I am a little bit fearful that most of you will probably like him better than you like me, but that's okay. I'm all right with that as long as more people learn about Jesus. All right, Acts chapter 9. If you've been in the book of Acts, if you ever preached the book of Acts, this is one of the passages you are ready to go to as soon as you start preaching. We are looking at the conversion of Saul, and I want you to see three stages in this. I want you to see Saul's plan. I want you to see God's interruption, and then I'm really going to hang out in a place that you might not have thought I'd have hung out. We're going to look at Ananias's faith, all right? You need to think about this other dude in the story. You got God and Jesus, right? You got those. You got our deity. You got God the Father, God the Son, and certainly God the Spirit is involved in this. And then you got Saul, who later we're going to refer to as Paul, right? He doesn't change his name. If you can find that in the Bible, show it to me. It's not in there. He had both of these names already. He just starts going by one a little more than he did the other. And then we have Ananias. And honestly, outside of Jesus, I think right here, Ananias is the one that's making the biggest steps in this passage. So in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, we're going to make our way through verse 19. I want you to see Saul's plan. Look at verse 1. But Saul, just think back a little bit. What's happened? What's been going on? Jesus was crucified. Jesus buried. Jesus resurrected. Jesus spent about 40 days pouring into his disciples, and then in Acts 1:8, Jesus gave his mission. He gave his mandate to the people. He tells them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and in the earth. And then from Acts 1 to Acts 8, they're right there in Jerusalem. God is doing some stuff. Thousands of people are getting saved. There's a little bit of some persecution. Peter and John get arrested. They're freed. They get arrested again. They get beaten and all these things kind of going on. And then in Acts 7, Stephen rises up. And at the end of Acts 7, Stephen is martyred. The bar has been raised. And Acts 8:1, they're scattered. They start to spread out. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. And then in the rest of chapter 8, we see Philip, who preaches in Samaria, and then we see last Sunday, Jason covered as Philip was taken away and walked down the road and found the chariot, the Ethiopian eunuch, and shared the gospel with him. So the gospel's going outside of Jerusalem, outside of Judea, to Samaria, and then with the Ethiopian, kind of a precursor, a first fruit, if you will, of the ends of the earth. But in all that time, the persecution is still going on. Paul says, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters, really to get permission, to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, only place we see this description of the church, the way, they were part of the way. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're part of the way, followers of Jesus, men or women. He might bring them bound to Jerusalem. You say, bring them bound. That doesn't sound all that bad. Listen, it's an arrest. Your freedom will be taken away, but it appears in some of the other descriptions that to bind them and bring them to the prison was just the first step. Many of them were being put to death. He was getting as many as he could. He was arresting them, and he was casting the vote that they should be killed. Acts 22, verses 4 and 5, Luke writes this, quoting Paul, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. Acts chapter 26, 9 through 11. I myself was convinced. Saul thought he was doing right. Saul thought he was serving God. He was serving in an ignorance. He was serving without all the knowledge. He was serving against what God was doing, but he thought he was doing right. I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things and oppose in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priest, but when they were put to death, it was more than just an arrest. Many of them, when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in all the synagogues, and I tried to make them blaspheme, and in rage and fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. I got a map. I'm not a big geography buff, but I got a map I just wanted you to see. You see Jerusalem there in the bottom third, right? Jerusalem is there. The persecution rises in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that Philip went down to Samaria. You'll notice Samaria is north, but he went down a couple hundred feet in elevation. Then later on, the Holy Spirit told Philip, go down to Gaza, the desert. You see how far south that is. Philip sees the Ethiopian eunuch. He shares the gospel and baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch shared the gospel with himself by reading the scripture, but Philip explained it. Then it tells us that Philip was no more, and then they said Philip was found in what? Azotus, which is just a little south of Jerusalem. And then we see Jerusalem. Paul gets letters from Damascus. Look how far north Damascus is. It's beyond what we've seen in Acts where the gospel's been. So obviously the gospel has made its way as far north as Damascus because Saul is going to persecute. He's traveling a great distance. This wasn't like a trip to Elik or a trip to Shreveport in your car. This was days of journey. Saul, same guy, right? You understand what I'm saying? Paul. He was fired up. He thought for the name of God, he had to terrorize these people. And he is breathing threats. My friends, that was Saul's plan. But I want you to see God's interruption. Aren't you glad for God's interruptions in your life? Sometimes, you know, to quote the great theologian Garth Brooks, sometimes some of God's greatest works are unanswered prayers, right? Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I would argue with that great theologian. I really believe that some of God's greatest gifts are his interruption in our lives. Oh, that he would interrupt our plans. I've got plans. I've got all kinds of plans. Jason's got plans. Matt's got plans. Heather's got plans. Y'all ought to be scared of Heather's plans. She wants to do more than all of us just to reach people for Jesus. It's good. It's good stuff. They got plans. Oh, that God would interrupt our plans. And God say, hey, listen, I like your plans. I think you're on the right track. But how about we do what I want to do? That's what we want. Some of y'all just want this church to be what you want it to be. Heaven forbid this church be what I want it to be. I want this church to be what God wants it to be. And I don't care if you like that or not. You either get right with God or you'll go with it. You say, preacher, what is that? I don't know. God knows. We're going to follow him with everything we've got. We're going to follow him with reckless abandon. We're going to follow him in anything he tells us to do. We're going to say, yes, Lord. He said, what if you miss it? He's going to tell us we missed it, and we're going to recheck, and we're going to go back, and we're going to figure out what he wants us to do. Can I just tell you? I know some things he's told us to do. Reach the world with the gospel. He has given us the mandate. We have no choice. We can either obey God or disobey God. The only choice is how we do it, how we go about it. We've got to, but may God interrupt. If we're missing something, if we're not on the right path, if we're doing something God would not have us to do, may God himself come down and say, I've got a better way. Oh, may it not be us. May it not be our church. It's not your church. It's not my church. It's his church. May God interrupt our plans. God interrupts Saul's plan. Look there in verse 3. Look what he does. I mean, he didn't just interrupt his plan. He just shifted it all together. Now, as he was on his way, he approached Damascus. And suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Notice he said, why are you persecuting me? Because to persecute God's church is to persecute Jesus himself. Why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And that's someone to argue he's just being respectful. I don't know that he knows this is Jesus. I know Saul just knows this is somebody he don't want to mess with. He knows this is somebody more powerful than him. And Jesus is going to tell him it's him in just a second. But Saul, the last thing he sees before he goes blind is the resurrected Christ. He said, well, preacher, it doesn't say he saw him there in the text. Read the rest of the book. It tells us he saw him, he appeared to him, and it blinded him. The last thing he sees is Jesus. It puts him on his knees. He's blinded. Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. If he didn't know when he asked, he knows now, because Jesus told him, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, I bet. They heard the voice, but later passages tell us they didn't understand what was being said. They heard the noise, they heard the voice, but they didn't understand what Saul heard. They didn't hear it the way that he heard it. But seeing no one, Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Listen, a sudden light from heaven. He's walking down the road. It's the middle of the day. It's about noontime is what we gather from the cross references. And we put everything together. It's noonday. So the sun would be at its brightest, but it's not one. And in that region of the world, the sun's pretty bright. It's a lot of desert region. It's a lot of other places where the sun's bright, but it blinds him. It's enough of a difference that everybody in the party notices what happens. A sudden light from heaven drove Saul to his knees. Listen, if you don't get on your knees before the Lord, he's able to put you on your knees. Life will put you on your knees. You say, well, it ain't happened to me. It's coming. And even if it don't happen on this side of eternity, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. My friends, you know Osama bin Laden bent the knee? Just split seconds after SEAL Team 6 took him out. He was bowing before Jesus. Just get a, that makes you want to go hoorah or something. I'm just saying. We're supposed to love our enemies, but that doesn't hurt my feelings. He bowed his knee to Jesus. You will bow your knee to Jesus here, now, later, or when you meet him. Oh, may it be that God doesn't have to put you on your knees, but that you fall just because you know him and you love him and you desire to worship him. Saul is on his knees. The exchange between Paul and Jesus, why do you persecute me? I already said to persecute the church was to persecute Jesus himself. And then Jesus gives him a new assignment. Paul is on his way to Damascus to arrest, to torture, to kill anybody he can that claims the name of Jesus. And Jesus is going to turn him a complete 180. Here's a public service announcement. If you want to change something, don't say, I need to do a whole 360, all right? That means you end up right back up where you are. Y'all understand that? I had a friend say, man, I got to get my eating straight. It wasn't me. It was another friend. I'm trying to get my eating straight too. He said, I got to do a 360. I said, brother, don't do a 360. Y'all understand? There's some geometry on Sunday morning. All right? This is 180. This is 360. All right? He did a 180, and he starts walking in a different direction. Jesus changed his plan and gave him a new plan. Some of you, Jesus has changed your plan, but you missed some of the assignment. He gave you a new plan when he changed your plan, and it wasn't to sit on the premises. It was to go out and make disciples. You missed part of the assignment when he gave you a new life and a new plan. He's on his knees. He's humbled. Oh, I want you to see this illustration. Think about it. Paul is breathing fire and death. He's on the road to Damascus. He's going to arrest him. He's going to beat him. He's going to have him killed if he can. God puts him on his knees. And then how's he going to Damascus? It's not with any fire. It's not with any authority. He's led by the hand like a little child. Can I just tell you, that's how you come to Jesus. You don't come telling Jesus how he's going to do things. You don't come telling Jesus how good you are, because he knows you. You come to Jesus like a child. Even Jesus said that, didn't he? Coming to me like these little children with a childlike faith. Oh, some of you need to regain that childlike faith. Life will beat it out of you if you're not careful. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Oh, preacher, that's simple. Aren't you glad? It's simple. It's real. Paul, he was coming, old big man, was going to destroy the church, and now he's being led like a child to this house that will find his own straight street in Damascus. And God's got a new plan. He's been humbled. He's been changed. For 3 days, I believe this is the second most important three-day period in all the New Testament. Y'all do know what the most important one was, right? I'm just checking the resurrection, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Jesus rose, amen? That's a gimme question, but some of you might not have heard it before. Jesus was in the tomb 3 days. Saul was in the darkness for 3 days and became the greatest messenger of Jesus in all the New Testament, probably the history of the church, other than Jesus himself. But he's walked in like a child. He doesn't eat. He doesn't drink for the rest of that day, for all of the next day, and until the third day. Then there's a man named Ananias. We saw Saul's plan. Don't say that too fast. We saw Saul's plan. That's hard for a redneck from North Carolina to change the sound of those two. We see God's interruption. And now I want you to just marvel, not the movies, but just be in awe of Ananias' obedience. Now, this is not the same Ananias from Acts chapter 5. Remember, he's dead. Ananias and Sapphira, who didn't give with the right heart, they died. Some of y'all better be glad that those that don't give with the right heart don't die automatically today. We'd be in trouble. But Ananias is dead. This is a different Ananias. This is an obedient Ananias. This is an Ananias that is following passionately, obviously, after Jesus. And in verse 10, he is about to get the assignment that nobody in the church would want right now. Nope, I'm not talking about cleaning toilets. I'm not talking about being in charge of a renovation. I'm talking about one that nobody would want. And listen to what God says to Ananias. Look at verse 10. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. What else do you say when God speaks to you in a vision? I just think you say, here I am, Lord. Ananias, the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Hey, I want you to go to this guy that's been breathing threats and been killing all kinds of Christians, and I want you to lay hands on him and pray. You might imagine that Ananias had a question. He had a crisis, if you will, a belief. And I want you to notice the conjunction, verse 13. But Ananias had a but God. But Ananias said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Now listen, I want you to understand something this morning. God can handle your questions. God can handle your but gods. But we need to check our heart while we're questioning. You don't see a heart of rebellion here in Ananias. You see a heart of reality. And he's saying, Lord, let me just kind of get this straight. You're asking me to go over to this folks' house that, by the way, were probably not friends of the church, but probably friends that Saul would have known anyway, right? These weren't the way. These were those that probably would have supported Saul. Straight Street was kind of a street you might not have wanted to be on if you were a believer. Maybe. But you want me to go over here to Saul, who we've already heard got papers from the high priest to go to Damascus and arrest us. So God, let me get this straight. You want me to go and get arrested, maybe, is what he's thinking. His heart was not rebellious. He had some legitimate questions. Let me give you an example of some legitimate questions that I've had in the past 18 months. Lord, that church voted no the first time I went. Well, not no completely, but enough where I couldn't go. Lord, there's a lot of mess there. Let's just be real, okay? You all right? I've been kind of holding back for the first 7 months. Let's just go and see, right? Search committee will not leave me alone. I see Ben Iles or Donald Perkins' number on my phone. I don't want to answer. I still don't want to answer when Ben, no, I'm just messing this. He's not here. Tell him I said it. God, it's not healthy. There's a lot of hurt feelings. God, there's a few of them that blame me. I didn't know who they were. Listen, I hate all that happened. I wish it could have happened different. But I had to get to a place where I just had to trust God. You just got to trust God. It hadn't been necessarily easy. I had two teenagers that all they knew was Texas. Metroplex, Texas. Now, I just want you to know, you will not hear me. And if I do, you call me out after the service politely, if you can. I will not badmouth Leesville. I love this place. But for two teenagers, there's not quite as much to do in Leesville as there is Fort Worth, Texas. Fair? Fair assessment? It was an adjustment. I've got a bride that I almost would guarantee you loves Jesus more than any of y'all. I'm just saying. Y'all all right? I mean, I'm just saying. Don't get mad at it. Let's make it a competition. See who can love Jesus the most. That'd be a good church fight right there. Who can love Jesus the most? She's still trying to figure out what God wants her to do. Now, I know, here's the deal. Every day she's breathing. She's doing what God wants her to do. I just watch her do it. It's just not been that specific thing. God might be up to something there, but that's a whole other story. I can just promise you she's staying here with me. Amen. You just got to trust him. Walk with him. He'll guide your steps. Some of y'all teenagers, man, y'all got plans. You got plans. Oh, you need to have plans. You need to have dreams. You need to go after it. Go after it with everything that's in you, but always leave room for God's interruption. Because I promise you, when he interrupts, as much as you like the dream you had, his plan's going to be better. And listen, it might just be that he wants to make sure that he's more important than that dream, and he's got something even better he wants to add on top of that dream. You always leave room for what God has in store. But Ananias was like, hey, yo, I just said yo in a sermon. Is that Leesville rubbing off? Or I think I was in there somewhere else. He's like, Jesus? And Jesus answers. It's different. Listen, there was another one that questioned God back in Genesis 3, 1 through 5. This is a whole different kind of heart. Listen what the serpent said. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say? The answer to that question is yes. But the serpent tries to twist what God says. Listen, that's a whole different kind of heart. God will destroy and convict and challenge that kind of heart. But he can handle your legitimate questions. And he'll give you what you need to move forward. Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Listen to that, to your name. But, that's another conjunction. I'm glad when I have a but question, God has a but answer. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And I want you to see verse 17, the obedience of Ananias. So Ananias departed, and he entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Ananias says, but God, but Jesus. Jesus says, but Ananias, I've chosen him. And then Ananias says, yes, sir. And he goes. He obeys. Someone told the story one time about a father told two of his sons to do something, and the first son said, but Dad, I don't want to. I just really got other things I want to do. And father said, son, I need you to do it. And the son said, yes, sir. And he went and did it. And then another son, his father told him to do it. He said, yes, sir, dad, but he never did it. Which one was obedient? God can handle your questions. Just be obedient. Because he is right. And he has a plan. And Ananias had, is there anyone in here that would not have had a legitimate question with that request? If somebody were to rise up right now and is shooting Christians, and you feel like in your prayer time, God tells you, hey, I want you to go and share Jesus with that person that shoots anybody that steps on his property, and I want you to go to his house and knock on his door, my answer would be, God, you sure? I need to know it's God and not some bad Mexican food that's just not sitting right. I need to test that thing a little bit. But then you go. And even if you perish, I'm probably taking somebody with me. You trust God and you obey. You use wisdom, but you trust God. Ananias trusted God. And look how he refers to Saul. Listen to this. He comes into the room. He lays hands on him. Verse 17, he said, Brother Saul. What a change. They didn't call him brother before now. He says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight, you may be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes. He regained his sight, and then he rose. He was baptized. Saul was obedient to follow Jesus in baptism. We heard last week, you saw today, you hear again. Some of you need to be obedient to follow the Lord Jesus in baptism. And taking food, he was strengthened. Three times in verses 14 through 16, you see the name. They want to persecute all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he has chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles. Jesus said, I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. In the book of Acts, last thing I want you to see today, there's something about that name. In Acts 3:16, when Peter's explaining how the lame man was healed, he says, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And then Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We see Saul's plan. We see God's interruption, and we marvel at Ananias' obedience, but we worship the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. A Jesus so powerful that he's going to take the greatest enemy of the church, and he has now turned him into the greatest advocate of the gospel, who will become the greatest missionary of the New Testament, who will travel the known earth planting churches, and who will lay down his very life. The one who went to take lives is going to eventually give his. And most of the rest of the book, we're going to follow these travels back and forth. He's going to put some mules on those jandals. some miles on those mules and those jandals. That came out wrong. You get it, right? Amen? Y'all never use the wrong word? You don't talk in front of people as much as I do. What road are you on the way to? Where are you heading? I don't think there's anybody in here heading in a direction where you want to persecute Christians. I don't think so. There might be. If you're here, I want you to see my security. I don't think you're on that road, but some of you are on a road to destruction. You're living in a lifestyle of sin and choices that you know don't honor Jesus, and it's not going to take you anywhere that you want to end up. Can I just tell you, you can't change the past, but you can change what's coming. Actually, I do think you can change the past. I believe you can change the past you'll have 10 years from now by the decisions you make today. You can change the past you will have 10 years from now by the decisions you make right now. Some of you need God to interrupt your plans and change your direction and put you on a new path. Can I just tell you, He is able. Some of you will say, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done." I don't have to know. His grace is sufficient. You come to Him and let Him do the work. Quit trying to fix it yourself. You're just going to keep getting what you're getting. "So it ain't too bad." Oh, just wait. You walking on that road, it's going to lead somewhere you don't want to go. Some of you, you might be walking on a more dangerous road for a believer. Some of you are walking on the road to mediocrity. Just going through the motions. You've been saved for so long. You've heard about Jesus for so long. Somewhere along the way, you got over the fact that the King of the world, the Creator of all creation, loves you and has a plan for your life, and you've decided that's no big deal. I'm going to do what I want to do. And can I just tell you, that's not a road you want to stay on. You'll be wasting the greatest gift you have other than your salvation, and that is a life to live for God's glory. Don't stay on that path and just go through the motions. Some of you, all your walk with Jesus is occasionally showing up on a Sunday morning. And can I just tell you, that's better than nothing, but not much. I love coming to church. I get excited. I saw a meme last night on Facebook, little kid, like, that's just how I feel. I just can't wait. It's my favorite day of the week. Don't be laughing at that too much. It's my favorite day of the week. I love being with God's people. I love seeing y'all. I love being around y'all. I love worshiping Jesus. I certainly love baptizing folks. You might can figure it out. I kind of like preaching, but what I love most is what's about to happen, what God could do in the midst of this service. He could change somebody's eternity just because we came together as a body of Christ today. Just because His word is true. Just because the gospel's real. And for some of you, somehow, I don't know how it happened, but somehow that became not so big a deal to you. And I promise you, that needs to change. It needs to stay a big deal on Sunday. It needs to be a big deal tomorrow morning. It needs to be a big deal until the day you stop breathing. And then it'll be the biggest deal it's ever been in your life. Are you ready? I'm telling you, I've spent about 8 months just trying to figure out what's going on. I'm getting ready to get some help. Jason's getting ready to get some help. We're all getting ready to get some more help. I feel like the team is going to finally be complete, and I've got some free time to kind of dream and do some things. I've got some free time for Jason not to have to be taking care of everything else that needs to be taken care of, some other things that he can do. And I'm just telling you, once y'all meet Joey, you're either going to be convicted or you're going to fall more in love with Jesus than you ever have. And you're going to want to tell more people about Jesus than you've ever told about Jesus. So, preacher, I don't know how. Here's how. Love Jesus. Love God. Love people. Seek the lost. Make disciples. You fall in love with Jesus enough, can I just tell you, you won't be able to help but talk about Jesus. I promise you, this week there'll be a lot of folks talking about the Tigers. And that's all right. They beat that Division III school to pieces yesterday. That's good. That's fun. They did what they're supposed to do. Now, if they win next Saturday, there's going to be a lot more talk about them Tigers. Why? Because we like them Tigers. Some of y'all love them Tigers. Some of y'all need to quit worshiping them Tigers. I'll quit. I'll stop there. Or whoever. Here's a better one. How many of you ever had to take a class, you grandparents, ever had to take a class to show somebody a picture of them grandyoungins? Or when that boy hits a home run or that girl gets a goal in the soccer match or whatever it might be, nobody ever had to train you to talk about that. And it's dangerous nowadays because used to, they'd whoop out a wallet and you had a little bit of chance to get away after about two or three pictures. Now they'll whoop out I thought my phone was in my pocket, but they'll whoop out a phone and there's 3 days worth on there. And you got to be polite. You got to be nice, especially if you're the preacher. Some of y'all can be ruder than I can, but you just got, I like seeing the pictures. Show me the pictures. I'm glad to see the pictures. Let's just love Jesus that much. Come on now. Let's love Jesus. Hey, it'll be even better for your grandbabies if we love Jesus that much. Just love Jesus. Here's one of my simple prayers every day. Jesus, I love you. Help me love you more. Help me love you more. Paul was on the road to Damascus. He had a plan to destroy the church. God interrupts Paul. He had a plan to build his church. Ananias was just minding his own business, but God used him in a mighty way. Where are you heading? Is it a place you want to end up at? Or does God need to interrupt your plans? Every one of us should pray this prayer. God, if you need to, I trust you to interrupt whatever I have planned. For your glory. And it'll be for your good. It'll be for his glory and for your good if God interrupts your plans. What road are you on? What is God about to do in your life? Are you ready? Pray with me. Father, we love you. We praise your holy name. We ask as we respond to your word that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place that needs to change directions, that needs to start a new path, Lord, some of them, you've already interrupted them. You've already shown them. It's not the sermon that made them think about it. It's not the message. It's not the illustrations. It's not the music. It's not the enthusiasm. It's the Holy Spirit of God has already gripped their lives, and they know that, God, you are moving them in a different direction. Just give them the strength and the will to obey. Some of them need to be saved or have been saved. They need to tell the world they've given their life to Jesus and they need to follow you in baptism. Others, you've told them this is where you want them and their family to be a part of the East family to reach this region and the world with the gospel. That is our task, and we need every laborer that you have for your body here at East. Others, Lord, the world has got its grips in them and it's tried to grab a hold of them. And in some ways, the world has succeeded until now. But God is wanting to change those things. And I pray, Lord, they would just surrender. They don't know what it looks like. They don't know how the answer is going to come. They just know they need Jesus. Like little Coleman shared with me this morning that he just recognized he needed Jesus. Oh, may we have a childlike faith. Others, Lord, there's just real burdens. Life is just hitting. It's swinging. And it will on this side of eternity. And we just need to bring our burdens to you. Others need to share some of those burdens so that we can help carry those burdens. Lord, whatever needs to happen, have your way. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.